Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske. How did advocates for gay marriage turn the tide in state after state in what's become one of the fastest political movements of our times? Well, for one thing, it took lots of hard work. At the forefront was a man named Mark Solomon, who's written one of the first books that appear inside this movement. Mark Solomon was a key central player in the battle to win marriage in New York and in the 2012 ballot initiatives that enacted marriage in Maine, Maryland, and Washington and stopped a marriage ban in Minnesota. Solomon is currently the national campaign director at Freedom to Marry. His new book is Winning Marriage, the inside story of how same-sex couples took on the politicians and pundits and won. He speaks tonight in Kansas City. More on that in just a little bit. And Mark, so good to have you here. Welcome back to your home city here of Kansas City.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Well, as your book points out, in 2003, no state allowed same-sex couples to marry, and support for gay marriage across the country was below 40%. Today, of course, the story is dramatically different. How surprised are you, Mark, that this movement is where it is right now?
I'd say in the last 2 years, there's been dramatic progress in the last year and a half. So that's been a little surprising, just how quickly things have moved. But, you know, it's over the course of 10, 11 years, it's been, you know, it's been a slog. It's felt like a slog. You know, Massachusetts was on its own for 4+ years. And we've really had to do a lot of work to build public support and then to hit this point.
So what is was it a snowball effect that started going and then things just took off a couple of years ago?
I think so. I think that, you know, on this issue, more than pretty much any other, it's getting to know same-sex couples, getting to understand why they marry. So it's, you know, the more states that have come on board, the more people have had exposure to gay couples who are married, and they realize they're marrying for the same reasons that I'm marrying, and of course they should be able to.
You know, as of today, Mark, how many states permit gay marriage in this country?
Well, 35, with Missouri as an asterisk at the moment.
And the prospects for Missouri would be what?
So Missouri is in the courts. The attorney general first needs to decide if he's going to appeal a district court decision. We hope he doesn't.
He's being pressured to do just the opposite, of course.
Right. Yeah. We think that with the district court ruling, this is what happened in Oregon. He could say, look, this district court ruling is sufficient, and marriage is legal for same-sex couples throughout the state of Missouri.
And Kansas, the story is somewhat similar, right?
Yeah, Kansas is complicated because the governor and the attorney general are really doing everything they can to oppose us, including, you know, the most sort of pernicious from my vantage point is not respecting marriages. They give marriage licenses because the court has told them they have to, but they won't give driver's licenses or they won't respect the marriages in any way. So they're dragging their feet as much as they can.
Is there any question in your mind today, Mark, that the U.S. Supreme Court's going to take up this issue?
I think that it will ultimately take up the issue, and we're very hopeful that it'll take up the issue in the next few months. There are several cases now pending before the Supreme Court. There is now what's called a split in the circuits, where several of the intermediate courts have ruled our way. One has now ruled against us. And when there is this conflict, that's oftentimes when the Supreme Court will take up a case.
Is there any question in your mind that the court will rule that same-sex marriages ultimately are legal?
It's always a question. I have a lot of confidence based on how the court dealt with the so-called Defense of Marriage Act a year and a half ago. It overturned the so-called DOMA law. And it, in doing so, in an opinion by Justice Kennedy, it really eviscerated any arguments for any kind of bans, including state bans. So we have a lot of confidence, but, we're going to, and our campaign is going to keep making the case in the court of public opinion that the lawyers are making in the courts of law to make it very clear that the country is ready for national resolution.
It's a pretty conservative court.
It is. Anthony Kennedy has been a champion on has written every one of the major decisions on gay rights over the course of the last 20 years. So we think we have the five votes, but but only five votes. So we want to see it happen quickly and have the job complete.
We're visiting with author Mark Solomon about his new book, Winning Marriage, the inside story of how same-sex couples took on the politicians and the pundits and won. What was the one key moment, Mark, in your mind in the course of this battle that began to turn the tide? I mean, was it a legal ruling, a legislative vote that seemed to be more important than anything else?
Sure. I'd say the biggest one was really now a decade ago in Massachusetts when gay couples could finally start marrying. And people heard all these scare tactics from our opponents, but then they saw these committed couples, many of whom are raising families, and saw, you know what, clearly these folks just want to marry for the same reasons I do. And so I want to treat them with dignity and respect and support their ability to get married. Making it real was crucial.
And Massachusetts did that.
Did it a decade ago.
At one point, even some in the gay community were saying, let's take civil unions and sort of call it a day. And, you know, the rights that came with civil unions and all the benefits and all of that. Why wasn't that ultimately the choice? Why was there a push then to continue on past civil unions and say we're going for marriage and full equality here?
Because marriage is more than the sum of all of the benefits that come along with it. Marriage connotes the ultimate relationship. It connotes connotes both deep love and commitment, and commitment for life. And everyone knows what it means. So it's a word and an institution that's worth fighting for.
But how close did the movement come to saying, okay, this is going to be a long slog. Let's just cut our losses, take civil unions, and stop there.
I think not. There were enough people pushing for marriage, but there were certainly plenty who, when we saw, when we saw the strength of our opposition from the hierarchy of the Catholic Church and the Mormon Church, and then the political use of the issue by Karl Rove and the National Republican Party a decade ago, there were people who were like, "Is this, this fight is going to be so ugly? Is it really worth it?"
Hmm. One other key moment, Mark, came in 2009 when New York state lawmakers voted down a proposal to make same-sex marriage legal. Despite some having promised to support it, LGBT activists decided it was time to play hardball. What happened at that point back in 2009?
Sure. So in 2009, some of the major LGBT donors contributed more than $1 million to the Democrats, and the Democratic leaders in New York promised to pass a bill, and they didn't. They took the money and ran, so to speak.
Imagine that, really?
Exactly.
Yeah, it happens out there, right?
So what the community did is they set up a political action committee called Fight Back New York that promised to knock out both, take on and defeat several Democrats and Republicans who weren't with us, who voted against us, and, established ourselves as a real force electorally. And that created the climate for in 2011, when with the Republicans in power in the state Senate to advance a marriage bill and get it signed into law.
If you guys hadn't played hardball, what would the outcome have likely been?
The outcome would have been, I'm confident, the Republicans, we wouldn't have won. The Republicans saw that that we were going to play hardball. They had a two-vote majority in New York, and if they didn't at least allow a vote on the bill, we would have done everything we could to defeat them. Mm-hmm. And so their calculus was that it was smarter to allow a vote than not, politically smarter to allow a vote than not.
The fight for marriage equality is our topic today. Our guest again is Mark Solomon, whose new book is Winning Marriage. He'll be speaking tonight from 5:30 to 8 at the flea market in Westport. That's at 817 Westport Road. You've been asked to RSVP if you want to attend. You can find a link for that event on our website. Just go to kcur.org. And if by all means you want to join our conversation, you can do so right now. 816-235-2888 is our number here. Again, 816-235-2888. Let's go to John from Kansas City, Missouri. John, you're on the show.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. your guest, I want to know if he will fight as hard to assist non-government entities with maintaining their own unique prism of the topic. I just think that it's careful to not encroach upon religious beliefs as it pertains to this issue, and I wonder how he'll help those organizations maintain their perspective.
Will you force organizations other than governments to accept gay marriage, I think is the question, Mark. Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, very clearly churches, synagogues, mosques, as well as clergy can never be forced to marry any same-sex couple. You know, there is debate about where the line is. You know, I believe pretty strongly that for businesses that operate in the public sphere, they can't discriminate against and shouldn't discriminate against gay and lesbian people. So, you know, it is a pretty significant issue. But ultimately, you know, the thing that our country is founded on, the idea of religious liberty, you know, no one can ever force a clergy person to marry anyone that they don't want to.
So you don't see the fight really extending beyond state governments and the federal government then once you get past the Supreme Court ruling here?
No, I mean, you know, there is certainly a lot of discussion within religious denominations, but those are internal to those denominations about how they, you know, whether they have gay pastors or not. That's not related to our you know, our struggle. We are about the government allowing same-sex couples to marry and treating same-sex couples and their families with full respect.
You know, given what you said already this morning, Mark, about the Roman Catholic Church and what a struggle and what an obstacle the church has been for gay marriage in this country, what do you make of the Pope's recent comments? Because certainly those seem to come out of left field there.
The new Pope has been I think a tremendous force. He hasn't changed the doctrine, but he has really shifted away from you know, what are we against to what are we for, and how can we help you know, help people. And it's been a real transformation. So we just haven't heard the same kind of negative rhetoric that we did several years ago.
Gabby emailed us this, Mark, at updatedat.kcur.org. My wife and I got married in Iowa. Just wondering what your guest thinks will happen with marriage equality when the GOP becomes the majority in the U.S. Senate beginning next year.
I think that what we're seeing is that Republicans are you know, increasingly embracing the freedom to marry. A recent poll showed that of Republican voters, 45 and under, 56 of them support the freedom to marry.
56%
support. Yeah, 56%. So I'm seeing Republicans who, number one, want to Republican electeds who want to either, you know, want to stay as far away from this issue as they can. So I am confident that there will be no shift in Washington, D.C. on the progress that we've made.
Well, what do you make of President Obama's evolution, to use your word, on this issue? Because certainly a number of years ago, he was lukewarm at best on this, and now he's in a very different place. What do you make of it?
I think that it was a genuine and heartfelt evolution. He talked about it in very, you know, very powerful terms. He talked about his own faith and the value of the golden rule and his kids. I think this is the way a lot of people see this issue. They talk to their kids who are like, why, you know, we have friends who have gay parents. Of course, gay people should be able to get married. And I think, you know, that was an extraordinarily helpful you know, evolution for our cause to see the president come our way.
So you don't see him as hopping on the bandwagon once it had left the station already?
Well, look, I think that for a president, a national political leader, there's always sort of a narrow lane in which they can operate in order to be, you know, see themselves as politically viable. And we're always dealing with that, whether, you know, presidents, senators, et cetera, governors, et cetera. So it was our job to both push the conversation to a point where the president felt like he could embrace and also push the president hard to get him to embrace our cause. So and I talk about in Winning Marriage in the book a lot about how we pushed the president to embrace our cause.
How did you push him?
Well, the thing that was very specific that we did is we launched a campaign to include a platform or a plank in the Democratic platform in favor of marriage equality. And, you know, we launched that. We immediately got 20-some-odd U.S. senators on board, some governors. Nancy Pelosi, the then Speaker of the House, came on board. And that, you know, the president realized that by September, by the time of the Democratic National Convention, he really needed to be on board, or else it would be a real problem. Happily for us, he was planning to make that evolution, but we, you know, we created a deadline for him.
What difference does it make to have the President of the United States on board?
It makes both a very symbolic difference as well as a very practical difference. The symbolic difference is that, you know, the presidency means something. It, you know, more than anything else, speaks for the country, symbolically speaks for where the country is. So having the president on our side, having the president say to same-sex couples that you are equal makes a big difference. And then, you know, practically, you know, there are more than 1,000 protections and benefits that come through the federal government. And the president has been very proactive in ensuring that all couples, no matter where they get married, get those protections and benefits. So it's had a huge practical difference as well.
We're talking about the fight for marriage equality in this country in a new book out. It's titled Winning Marriage. The author is Mark Solomon. Our number here again, 816-235-2888. You know, much of the battle here, Mark, as you chronicle in the book, was over public opinion. A decade ago, as I said a few minutes ago, you know, nationwide support for gay marriage hadn't even reached 40%. Was the plan always to take this challenge one state at a time, or how did that play out?
Sure. It was the strategy. We knew that ultimately, in order to win nationwide, we would need the Supreme Court to rule. But we also knew that the Supreme Court doesn't rule in a vacuum. It looks and it doesn't want to get too far ahead of where the American people are. And it looks to the states and it looks to the public for what it's going to do. So we knew that we needed to win states and grow public support to get to a critical mass where the Supreme Court would take it on. And
that's an interesting idea. You're saying the Supreme Court wouldn't rule on gay marriage strictly on the merits. There's more of a political calculation that goes into the whole thing.
Yeah, and they don't even hide or disguise that. They've been very clear about letting issues like this, in the words of Justice Sotomayor, let it percolate. So we now feel like we're at 60% support. We have 35 states covering 2/3 of the country, and we now feel like the entire country is ready for national resolution.
What previous movements were drawn upon as you guys went about your crusade here? Because I know that the battle for civil rights was clearly one of them.
No question. And the specific element or the specific civil rights battle that we looked to was the battle to end the bans on interracial marriage. And we looked very carefully at how that battle was waged. And it was waged at first at the state level and winning in state legislatures and then showing that the scare tactics about blacks and whites marrying were simply not the case.
But there's also, you know, there was so much talk about strategy, too, and the kinds of messages that would play well for voters. Tell us about that. What messages did prove to be the most effective as you went state by state?
Yeah. So I think what's been most important about our making our case is being genuine. And what's genuine is that gay couples want to marry out of a deep sense of love and commitment and to take care of their families. And what we had been doing before is we'd been talking much more about benefits, about Social Security and healthcare.
And concepts like freedom and liberty and that kind of thing, right?
Well, freedom is also a very powerful concept. So I'd say it's, you know, the two the two elements that I think resonate the most are the deep love and commitment of same-sex couples and the concept of freedom, the right to be left alone in this country. And I think those that combination is very powerful and is very genuine. One thing we knew is that if we weren't honest, if we didn't use in our TV spots, we always used real couples, real families. Our opponents would use actors sometimes. We would never do that because it was so much about understanding who same-sex couples are.
And the thinking has always been that the more couples, same-sex couples that heterosexual people meet, the better able you are to sell your cause.
No question. I think, you know, the fundamental change that had to happen is that Americans who hold marriage is a very, very important concept and a very important institution needed to understand why same-sex couples wanted to marry. Mm-hmm. And, once they did and once they got it's the same reasons, they're like, yes, we should allow same-sex couples to marry. If they thought it was for a political cause or for something else, they were saying no.
I was really struck by the fact, again, speaking about strategy here, Mark, that the big early victories in this campaign were either on the East Coast or the West Coast. And I'm talking about states such as Massachusetts or California and Connecticut. How intentional was that? Because obviously these are states that tend to vote more Democratic with a capital D and be more open to a concept like gay marriage. Am I right about that?
Well, the one state that was in the heartland was the state to our north, Iowa, which was one of the early states. But that was a victory, unanimous victory through the courts in Iowa. But legislatively, there's no question that we did do our work first in the Northeast and on the West Coast. And I think it's because there's more of a progressive tradition. But
why start with a state like Idaho, for instance, or even Kansas, for that matter? It would be a very, very tough nut to crack.
No question. And we wanted to, so much of a social movement is about putting points on the board and winning. So we wanted to show some wins. And we also knew, especially with this cause, that winning meant being able to show married same-sex couples, mm-hmm. and that would create momentum in itself.
How harmonious, how well did this movement get along? Because obviously you talk about lots of people in this book who all made sizable contributions. I mean, how coordinated was it? How often did you get together? How much disagreement was there along the way?
In retrospect, we were terrifically well coordinated, but along the way, as in any social movement, there are plenty of egos, there are genuine disagreements in strategy. I think we've done a pretty good job of keeping our eyes on the prize, and that is, who our true opponents are and what it's going to take to make the case to the American people.
Yeah, but along the way, you think it actually worked pretty well.
Yeah, it did. And, it definitely did.
You're a Kansas City kid, Mark. What changes have you seen here? Because I know I've read that you've said that 20 years ago, Kansas City wasn't exactly the friendliest place to be gay.
It wasn't. And I can tell you just personally, being here right now, I've been invited to speak to my speak at my day school. I went to the Hyman Brand Hebrew Academy for day school. I went to Barstow for high school. Barstow sent out a notice about my book tour to all alums. That certainly wouldn't have happened 20 plus years ago for either. So that, just in a very personal way, has just made a big. It's felt really good personally, and it shows where society is, where Kansas City is, where young people are.
How tough was it 20 years ago?
It was tougher. I mean, I remember, and I got to be honest, it was more like 30 years ago when I was in high school. I was going to let you get away with
who's counting, right?
I don't know. I am. I was enjoying the 20 years for a while.
You want to ask how many it's been for me? Yeah.
No, I remember in high school at one point where a teacher sort of poked fun at a kid who was effeminate and seemed you know, seemed like he might be gay. And that was, you know, it was just a very unwelcoming, sort of isolating experience. And I think, you know, through groups that have advanced the cause for LGBT people, who have taken the schools on, have taken the issue of bullying on, things I think are so much better today.
Hey, how did you get involved in politics, Mark? Because I know you work for former Missouri Senator Jack Danforth.
Yeah, so I was sort of a rebel in an interesting way, in that my parents were good liberals, and I was sort of like Alex Keaton in Family Ties. I decided I was going to be a Republican, and so I, you know, in college, and I've always been sort of a political junkie, and I'm actually still very close with Jack Danforth. I just had lunch with him a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
He's always been a mentor to me. So I worked on Capitol Hill for Danforth, moved to St. Louis with him when he retired to help him do some of his not-for-profit projects.
Yeah.
But then was in Boston when the marriage fight really – in graduate school, when it really got going. And then I just took the political – you know, every political skill I had and sort of drive and put it into this battle.
Where's Jack Danforth on this issue?
You know, it's funny. I don't know.
I haven't asked him yet.
I think. I mean, he's if he's not totally there, he's pretty close. He did, at my request, he did write a very powerful op-ed in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch about getting the employment non-discrimination bill passed here in Missouri. So he has evolved a significant way over the last 25 years on gay rights, and is extraordinarily comfortable with gay rights and sees where this cause is going, and I think he's happy about it.
You know, what actually caused you to sort of take the step and go from an aide to Jack Danforth into the marriage equality fight? What happened there?
Well, I came out of the closet, number one, and recognized that I was gay, and then just. And I was also, and I was fortunate to have a lot of friends, and I realized, you know, I was in a whole bunch of weddings as a groomsman and a best man, and it just felt so unjust that even as my friends were having this beautiful and wonderful experience with the person they were going to spend their lives with, that it was something that was denied to me. And so when when this case was filed in Massachusetts in 2001, it just it seemed so right to me to I saw that if we could win marriage for gay people, it would really shift how others see same-sex couples, and it would create a much better vision for younger folks.
Is this the last frontier when it comes to major sweeping civil rights battles in this country?
I wouldn't say that. I think that, you know, certainly we have legal equality on a lot of issues, but I think that
for women you're talking about.
You know, for women, for African Americans, mm-hmm. there's legal equality. But what I'm saying is that there is still, I think the economic disparities are, the growing gap between the haves and the have-nots in this country, the lack of, you know, the increasing lack of opportunity to succeed. I think that's still a major civil rights battle, even if it's not traditionally thought of as a civil rights battle.
You know, that income disparity, you're very right about that. That income disparity idea has struck me as interesting as a guy who watches politics and has for so many years. I keep waiting for a movement to begin addressing that, at least to in a serious way. I guess maybe I haven't quite seen it yet. I could be missing it, but do you see that day coming?
I do. I think you see people like Elizabeth Warren and others who are, you know, the new mayor of New York, de Blasio. It's something I've been, you know, one of the really fun elements of being at this point in this battle on marriage is that other movements are now coming to me and to us and asking for pointers and guidance. And that's one that I have a special interest in.
Two key players that you cite in this book, Mark, are Evan Wolfson of Freedom to Marry. I gather you work with him very closely.
I do.
And Mary Bonato.
Right.
Of Gay and Lesbian Advocates and Defenders. It's called GLAAD, based in Boston. You call them major strategists and the Thurgood Marshalls of the LGBT marriage equality movement. Why?
Well, they are just true visionaries. They've been at this. Evan wrote his law school thesis on why gay people should be able to marry in 1983 and has been fighting this fight ever since. And Mary has been plotting out the legal strategy for 25 years. So they're not just they didn't just have a big vision. They had the drive and the know-how to put points on the board and start winning and create a social movement that has brought now millions and millions of people in this country and worldwide to the cause.
They must be absolutely ecstatic seeing where this movement is today, given that when they began, the hope for seeing change of this magnitude clearly was still off the radar screen.
They're very, very, very pleased. I work with Evan on a daily basis. I'd say he's happy. He's not content yet until we've won, nationwide. And there is still a third of the country where same-sex couples can't marry, where the discrimination is true and real on a daily basis. And that's where we're now doing our work in Texas and Louisiana and elsewhere.
I mentioned Evan Wolfson and Mary Bonato, but one of the themes of your book is that, hey, this has been a lot of people pulling the oars all at the same time. This has been a very coordinated but a massive team effort here.
No question about it. And it's been a grassroots effort that's, the reason I think we've been so successful is because this cause is one that is powerful enough for same-sex couples living in rural communities in Missouri and Kansas and Oklahoma and elsewhere to step out of their comfort zones a little bit and make the case to their neighbors, to their friends, and ultimately to their lawmakers. And that has been what's shifted. That's been at the heart of what's shifted things so much. When people think, well, these are people who live in New York and San Francisco, maybe Chicago, that's when when politicians are able to sort of disregard it. When they see it's people who live in my community, in my neighborhood, that's when it gets real for them.
Yeah, I was really struck by what happened in New York State. We talked about that a little bit ago, but I want to go a little bit deeper. In that state, New York State legislature was days away from voting on marriage in 2011 when Brooklyn's John Sampson, I think you mentioned him, he was the leader of the state Senate Democrats. He nearly killed the legislation twice. What happened? And again, how did you deal with that?
So he in a very disappointing way, saw that national donors would leave the state if the marriage bill passed. National donors who were giving to Democrats would move on to another state if the marriage bill passed. So he quietly tried to tank the bill and blame it on the Republicans.
Wow!
And luckily, in New York, we had a powerful champion, Governor Andrew Cuomo, who called him on it and called him out and said,
called him out seriously.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't get away with this, and I'm going to make sure you don't get away with this. And so he retreated.
Back to some calls here. Tom I'm not sure where Tom's from. Tom, good morning. You're on Up to Date.
Hey, thanks. I'm from Westport.
Nice to have you, Tom.
Yeah, I have a quick question. What about the international movement? Freedom to marry in other states. I know the United States are important, and it's great that progress was made so far. But what about other countries? And I'll go ahead and hang up and listen on the radio.
Yeah, thanks, Tom.
Sure. So we now have the freedom to marry in five continents and an increasing number of countries. It is something that we care about, and we are also provide consultation. There's going to be a big referendum in Ireland in 2015. So we've been advising the group there, but we're our main focus is not on Ireland, but on Texas and Mississippi and Florida, and finishing the job here in the U.S.
And just finally, Mark, other progressive causes, I'm thinking about gun control or right to die. Are they sort of reaching out and trying to tap into your expertise as well?
Sure. Gun control in particular. I just did an op-ed with a guy who runs the Brady campaign about learning from some of our approaches. They just had a very successful ballot campaign in Washington State to require background checks to across the board at gun shows. Passed pretty overwhelmingly. So there are things that we've learned that that other movements can pick up on and apply.
Mark Solomon's new book is Winning Strategy, the inside story of how same-sex couples took on the politicians and the pundits and won. Again, he speaks this evening from 5:30 to 8 at the Westport Flea Market. That's 817 Westport Road. To RSVP, you can find a link on our website, kcur.org. Fascinating book, fast-paced book. And Mark, so good to have you here. Thanks for taking some time.
Thanks for having me.